It's funny because before I met you, I associated you with a lot of beef. You know what I mean?
Oh
Like
yeah,
us.
there was a lot of beef because
And but that was people coming for you, or was it like were you a beef like instigator?
no, it was
So
just clashing on the lines.
yeah, so you were just defending yourself
Yeah,
basically.
exactly. I mean, Ghost, he recruited like EA to go over me. There was a bunch
Rest in
of dudes
peace.
like going over me
Yeah.
for no reason. I was just like, what the fuck is this about? So I never got to meet EA or whatever, but then Diva was in a show and she was showing her artwork or whatever, and I was just like, oh, let me just go do a walkthrough or whatever. So I go and I run into Smith and Kett, and they were like, oh, your friend's here. And I was like, who's that? And he was like, EA. And I was like, nah. I was like, you gonna point him out for me, right? So they were like, nah, they didn't want to do it or whatever. And then they're like, ah, what the hell? So they give me the walkthrough or whatever. I guess EA caught wind and saw me there and he jetted.
Oh,
And he
shit.
called DG the next day and was like, you know, tell Peek I'm sorry. You know, these guys, you know, they amped me up to go over him and this, that, and the other thing. I was
Yeah.
like, yo, Jason, that's. But yeah, then I heard he passed away. So I never got to meet him
Right,
or, you know,
right.
I was a little drunk that night and yeah, that would have got ugly.
Well, it's a good thing it didn't happen then, man. Just from like me as an observer and a consumer of graffiti, like a fan of both of you guys, but
I just think it's crazy how somebody doesn't even know you, you know? It's like,
yeah, I mean, I feel like
and they
though
have so
depending.
much hate for you. The same thing happened with Kaz 5. I mean, he had so much hate for me, but I don't understand where that came from.
You know, it's funny, bro. I got the outline for this interview going here, and like towards the end of the interview, I got a list of like people that I was just gonna be like, hey, I'm gonna list these people off in no order, and you know, I just want to hear like your take or whatever you want to say about them. But I think the way that this is going, like, I just kind of want to go with the flow a little bit, and I want to hear about the Kez 5. I want to hear about the YKK beef. You
Oh
know what
my
I
God.
mean?
Yeah.
Yeah,
That was a big beef, man. It
And
was
I
like
think also something that I want to get this down on wax is the infamous photo of Kez 5 wearing like a Nike, the hospital gown or whatever,
Oh
when he jumped up out of the hospital and he did that highway spot during the day,
yeah.
posted that he put you up on that
Yeah, he
spot.
did.
And I thought that was so crazy before I met you, 'cause I was like, damn, I thought those guys had like beef, like forever
Yo, it
beef or
was a
whatever.
hard beef. It was just like, he even said, I ain't going nowhere. This is going to be for life.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh shit, I heard he was sick. So I reached out to him on Instagram. I was like, yo, dude, I heard you're sick, man. Sorry to hear that. Because, you know, I went through that shit with Tabitha.
Right.
So yeah, I felt some type of way that he got sick or whatever. And then we started talking. And then, you know, he was sending me pictures of his artwork and all of this, and I was just like, I didn't even know he was capable of doing art like that. I
Wow.
thought he was just a bomber and a tag, you know, doing fill-ins and tags. But he was an actually a good artist.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit. So he was just like, I'm sorry that you guys, you know, I did this all these years, put you through this shit or whatever. I was like, dude, it's a game, you know? It's like I don't hold on any hostilities towards you. I
Yeah,
mean,
you
we
don't have
just
any open beefs at all right now, right?
Nah, I was just like, you know, we're just playing a game.
How did the YKK beef start? Was it a YKK thing, or was it just you and Kez
No, it was the
5?
whole crew.
It was the whole crew.
Yeah, I think the only one that didn't put his name on me was Spot.
Okay, because I remember seeing like a production of yours or whatever, and there was like a blimp up top.
Oh yeah, that was the Graffiti Hall of Fame.
And you wrote something like YKK, All My Sons, or something like
Well, the
that.
thing is like they did, I painted the night before so I wouldn't have to deal with the riffraff that goes on there in the daytime.
Okay.
So that shit was still fresh and they went there and ragged it. I was like, they did the stack up. The one dude standing on the other guy's
Oh,
shoulders.
yeah.
'Cause I painted up high for that reason. I was just like, maybe they can't reach it or whatever. But
Yeah.
yeah, they found a way up there and they ragged it. So I was
Within a
like, oh
day of
shit,
you doing.
yeah. So it didn't run long. And I was like, oh shit. So Ezo calls me up. He was like, yo, they went over your shit in the Graffiti Hall of Fame. I was like, really? So I went back. I was like, fuck it. All right. Now I just play with them a little.
Yeah.
So I fixed it or whatever. And then I put a label on the back of the blimp that said, what was it? Peek Vic, the official YKK mentor
Yeah, that's
on
right.
the
That's
back
right.
by the tail there.
Who of that crew would you say was like the most, like you guys were going like back and forth with?
It was scuffing Kez.
Scuff and Kez.
Yeah. I don't know if, like, if Spot went over me like anonymously, but he never actually put his name on me. The whole rest of the crew, I've seen their names on me.
And I know you're like at least friendly with Spot these days. What's your relationship like with Scuff? Did you guys ever squash it? Or?
Yeah, I mean it's all a game, man.
Yeah,
seriously. But I tell you one thing, he was definitely a worthy adversary. You know, they didn't think I was going to go to the extremes that I went through, being that I'm an older graffiti writer.
You were older back then to them, is what you're saying.
Yeah. So they were hanging. They hung out with PG.
Oh, okay.
This is a crazy story because, like, PG got locked up and I hadn't seen him in like 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to work on the subway on the A line. And I saw he had a sticker on a poster. And I was like, oh, shit, that's interesting. And then they posted over it or whatever. And then I see he had another sticker. Like, just going to and from work. And I was like, oh, shit, so he's traveling through here. So I wrote out a sticker or whatever. I was like, yo, PG, what up, man?
Love that.
And the other thing.
No cell phones, no email, none of that.
Yeah, exactly. I smacked it up next to his sticker. Yeah. And then I'm going through and I see another sticker. He was like, yo, I'm back at my mom's house and shit, come through.
He wrote it on a sticker?
Yeah, yeah. And he put that up on next to the stickers. I was just like, oh, shit. So I went to see him. Mm-hmm. So he was actually pretty tight with Kez and Scuff and the whole YKK crew.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's a Bushwick legend.
Yeah,
you know
what I mean? Exactly. He's a Papa Smurf, man. He's like the mayor.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, he was tight with them. But I used to just, he'd be hanging out with them or whatever, and I just come down to Bushwick, pick him up, and then just go hang out somewhere else.
With your, like, tight relationship with PG, because from, like, I associate you with PG, like, heavily in a way.
He's like my big brother.
And then how was it that if he's down with YKK and shit, how did you wind up beefing with them?
Maybe they felt some type of way that I wasn't like more social with them.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they felt shunned that I was just coming down there taking PG and hanging out. I don't know. But the beef started. Kez says that I went over a VE fill-in with one of my grids. We painted like the whole building or whatever. And he said there was a VE on it. If there was a VE on it, it wasn't an actual VE. It was somebody that did the VE.
Gotcha,
or maybe he did the VE.
Right.
But that's the reason he gave me.
Okay.
For starting to go over me.
Gotcha.
Meanwhile, Revs is just like, you know, those, you want to piss them off, just become a king. You know, they're just going to come after you.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So I was like, oh, fuck it. So we were warring heavy. To the point where I was just like, you know what? I'm tired of wasting paint, like, going over these. I'm just going to do my own fucking thing. And I just started walking past their fill-ins. I was like, you know what? Fuck it, man.
Yeah.
But definitely, Scuff was a worthy adversary. I hand it to him, man. I mean, like, I heard they had the Manhattan Bridge on lock with fill-ins. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, shit. So I took the train over. I saw they had that bridge on lock.
Yeah.
The posts.
Right.
The houses up there, whatever. So I was like, oh, shit. So anyway, I saw the colors that they used. And then I went back. I took out most of everything that they did up there. I buffed out their outlines so I wouldn't have to do fill-ins.
And just put
my own outlines.
Right. Yeah, one of the classic.
So anyway,
tricks.
After PG passed away or whatever, I had to go to the wake. That's like my big brother or whatever. And the whole crew was there. I was like, fuck it. I don't care. And they acted respectful to PG. You know, nothing broke off or whatever. So we're dropping roses into PG's gravesite. And Scuff and I are standing side by side. And he turned around. And he was like, yo, this shit ends here. I was like, bet. Definitely. He was like, I got a wall for you to paint for him.
Wow.
And that's like right around the corner from PG's house.
Wow.
Where he lived.
Crazy.
And I was like, that's fucking awesome, man.
That's.
But he actually mentioned, like, after the fact, he mentioned the bridge. He was like, yo, that bridge shit, I felt that. And that was big of him to actually admit that.
Yeah. Well, I feel like he loves graffiti through and through from what I've gathered.
He's definitely a real dude, man. Yeah. Seriously.
Yeah, shout out to Scott for sure.
Yeah.
Shit. Sorry, that's a crazy story for me to think about, just like PG passing away. And I assume too, like, you guys were all brought back together when DG passed away as well.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, that was a mutual friend of everybody's. Yeah, everybody. Like.
DG, everyone loved DG, man. That guy was such a character.
Right.
He was awesome. He was awesome.
Man, I regret, like, I only got to meet him one time, but he was hilarious, man. He was like, there was a room full of like, probably like 40 writers, like sketchbooks out, like people doing, and he was like talking about, he's like, I'm the best at this.
Yo,
shit.
His laugh and shit, yeah. He's just like, he's like the loudest one in the room, that laugh.
Yeah.
Oh my God, man.
Oh, seriously. Man. All right, hold on. Let me consult these questions because I don't want to forget anything here.
So yeah, when he passed away, that was rough.
Yeah, that was a rough one. I think everybody felt that one because that was after the internet came around. Like, you know, now when a writer passes away, like everybody feels it. Like the whole culture feels it. You mm-hmm. know.
The crazy thing about DG is that he always stayed in touch with me throughout the years.
Yeah.
Always, like he always found me where I was. Yeah. And stayed in touch.
No, I seen, and he did like a peak piece like off of the M line that I saw. I saw that when I actually like first moved to New York, so that was really cool. Some spots I wanted to ask about the DKNY spot on House.
Oh, that was awesome.
How long did that one run? That was with Donya, right?
That ran for like a week.
And that's then they
buffed it, yeah.
Bro, that the photo of that though is legendary. Like just the seeing the DKNY mural and then graffiti up top. People weren't really doing hang downs off the top. No,
and the crazy thing is like Donya was a beast back then, man. And, like she was doing it. So anyway, she knew somebody in the studio at the top floor of that place. So she had access to the roof and she was like, she hit me up. She was like, let's do the spot or whatever. And I was like, all right, cool. But there was like that building's so high up. There's like a little wall, like at the edge of the roof or whatever. And like she's standing up, like with her knees against that wall, like doing a roll down with these, you know, the big rollers, not the 9-inch rollers, but the really long ones that Scenic's
used. The like 18-inch joints? Yeah.
She was using those. And I was just like, and the pole, that shit's
heavy. That loaded up with paint is crazy. I think people don't really understand. Like, if anybody's listening to this and you had never have done it before, just walk up to the edge of a building that's like, you know what I'm saying, 10 stories high and just stand over it and look over it. Because normal hang downs, you're putting the walls up on your chest.
Well, that's what I was doing. Right. She was standing up and I see this like dirt like that's accumulated in the corner of the roof. And I was like, no. Stop, man. Because, like, I don't want to see her, like, spill over that freaking little wall. So I was like, just put your chest on the wall like this and then roll down. So, yeah, she abided. But
I mean, one gust of wind.
She was a beast, though, man.
Yeah, because y'all had the spot, too, off of the FDR, right? That one spot that's kind of, like, uptown.
Yeah.
I think there's, like advertisements on it now, but y'all had the top of that.
Yeah, I loved that spot. That spot was awesome.
I never got to see it, but I've seen the photos.
She climbed the billboard. We were leaving from there. We had spray paint or whatever. She climbed all the way up to the top of the billboard off the highway there and was doing tags and fill-ins. I was just like, holy shit, man.
And that's crazy, too, because at the time, I remember I saw a magazine feature. It was like Diva, Donya, and I think 17 and Claw were in that feature, too. It was like then, the ladies in graffiti.
Hope.
Oh, and Hope. Yeah.
They did a wall. It was like Charlie's Angels.
That's crazy.
But the silhouette had like a roller, a spray can, and I think a marker or something.
All right, let me just check the rest of these spots. The joint that's off of the 59th Street Bridge, that's still running to this day.
Dude, I can't even.
Do you know when you did that?
I knew it was New Year's.
Okay.
Everyone was like fucking partying. I was like, this is a perfect fucking time to do this. I did recon the night before. I went and I saw the door. And you know, that credit card thing works in a door.
Yeah.
You can open the door that way.
Right.
If it's loose. Anyway, I went up. I did recon. I opened Jimmy the door. I went up there and I counted the bricks to where to drop the lines. And I marked them. And then I left. And then I waited for New Year's to come. And Diva drove me there. She was waiting downstairs. And you know, the fucking crazy thing is going into that building, the hallway was so narrow. Like there was the staircase and then the walkway. The walkway must have been like maybe 3 feet wide. It was so narrow. And I'm walking with this really long extension pole and a 5-gallon bucket of paint. So I'm trying to maneuver like around the turns,
yeah,
like without hitting walls or doors with the pole. So I finally do get up there. I was just like, Jesus, that just getting through the maze.
People don't know, going up to the top. 5 gallon weighs probably like, I don't know, what do you think, 60 pounds?
Yeah, that shit's heavy.
Yeah.
Definitely. So I got up there, and the thing is like, I had to extend that pole fully, and I had to pour the paint on the other side of the roof to blot the roller. And then bringing it up, bringing it down is like a hammer, you know, because it's so flexible at the top. Mm-hmm. So you have to run to the middle as it's coming down to try to like not have it hit the roof.
Yeah.
Because the thump that it's going to make, if you're in that apartment, you're going
to
hear it.
I think only graffiti writers are going to be able to relate to that, because as you're saying it, like I've done a handful of rollers or whatever, and I think about it and I'm like, yeah, I don't think people understand. It's got to be pretty crazy for you to see the level that the kids are taking it to these days with the rollers. Like,
Oh, yeah. It's with the nuts. Outlines and all of that, it is pretty awesome.
They got to be using Wiz rollers or something like that to do those.
Yeah, seriously.
But hats off to those kids doing that.
But that piece has been running, I'd say, maybe 20 years now.
Yeah.
And everyone was like partying. It was the best time to do it, because if you look across the street from that building, there's this big high-rise building and just nothing but glass.
Right.
So people could just see out. And then the trams going by.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, everyone was just so fucked up that night. I was just like, I did it and then went home.
Yeah. Classic spot.
I'm shocked on how much play that got.
When did you first get into painting tunnels? And what years were you doing tunnels the most? And have you ever had any close calls on those missions in particular?
Yeah. I'd say 98, 99. Rebs was doing, he had this idea to do his whole autobiography down there.
Yeah, that started in 98, 99?
Maybe even before that, maybe 97. I'm not too sure of the years, but it's in that time frame though. But yeah, he had this idea to go down there and do that. So I did the first couple with him or whatever. We got chased in the G tunnel. So we had to leave the ladder there. So it was fucked up. So when we left, I was like, you know, we got to come up with a better system with the ladder. So I built this wood ladder that, you know, it's in two pieces. I had like these clips on it that kept it together. And then you unclip it, and then you just drop the top part into the bottom part. It's just like sleeves on both sides. So it just slips right into.
You built this shit?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It's a beautiful little wood ladder. Perfect for that, what he was doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we was doing that. And then we had a close call by the Manhattan Bridge there when the train goes into the tunnel. One train was coming when we were going in, and then the other train was coming. I was just like, oh, shit. So there's only the cutout in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And these trains are moving fast through there. And like, we had to just stop and stay in that cutout. The breeze from the trains, like, it just shakes your whole body. If you ever want to feel alive, you stand in that hole with two trains going by, man. It's just like, holy shit.
Nah, Attack has told me a lot about it because he spent a lot of time in tunnels. I've never stepped foot in a tunnel, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's because I have like a crazy fear of rats for some reason.
You want to hear something crazy? It's like the whole time we've been writing graffiti down there, I never saw a rat.
Yeah, you told
me that. The only place I see a rat is on a train station.
Yeah, you told me that. And that kind of made me.
You don't even hear them. Nothing.
Yeah. Who knows, man? Maybe I'll go down there.
You have to. Oh, it's yourself, man. You're in New York. You got to get a feeling.
I know. Man. Nah, you're right. You're right. So you started that in 98, 99. You said you did the first couple of pages with him.
Yeah. And then, you know, I was going hard with him for a little while.
Yeah.
But then I was like, you know what? Because he was going in daytime.
Uh-huh.
Like doing it. Like, yeah, he was on a mission.
Yeah.
And then he started bringing other graffiti writers down there. And the other graffiti writers were bringing magazine people down there. Were taking photos.
Oh, okay.
To put in these little zines.
Yeah.
And I told Rebs, yo, this is getting too crazy. You're letting too many people know about this.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I think he's referred to you as Mr. Antisocial before.
Yeah.
I've heard that name associated with you. And I consider him as being like not a social, like kind of a mysterious.
Well, you know, figure. That's what bugged me out is that, you know, he became so social. I was just like, I guess he was just looking for company to be down there with.
Sure.
Or whatever. But he was doing solo missions, so maybe that's not it. I don't know what the reasoning was.
Yeah.
But he let a lot of people onto it.
Yeah.
When I went to Pink and Smith's house and Lady Pink mentioned it, and I was just like, wow, so it's out there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I shied away.
Got you.
I was like, all right, so this is your dream. I'm going to back up a little.
Got you.
Yeah, it was just too many people knew. And that was his downfall.
Right, because eventually...
Yeah, because he let Adder called him, that guy Adder. You know, Scuff was right back in the day. He was like, you know, that kid's a rat, this, that, and the other thing. And I was just like, you know... And that's a big reason why they were going over me, too, because I was hanging out with Adder. And the only reason I was hanging out with Adder is because PG brought him to a wall that we were painting.
Gotcha.
And he was like a fan.
Yeah.
But, you know, Scuff was like, yo, are you hanging out with him? And they started going over me. And I was just like, you know, I'm not going to let anyone dictate who I'm going to hang out with.
Right.
But, you know, he was right. Because, like, a lot of people that told me they'd done shit with Adder, it was just weird. They got a weird vibe. Like, they were being set up.
Dude, I low-key want to do a feature with Adder at some point, mm-hmm. and just ask him all the questions about all the rumors and all that. Because I saw some magazine that I think you passed on to me, because you blessed me, and I appreciate that. Like, oh, they're all... Welcome. I got these things sealed in plastic now, but you blessed me with a lot of magazines. And one of them I saw, he, like, did a whole feature, like, addressing shit. But I feel like there's still, like, so much to address. But yeah, that's interesting to hear. Because didn't you tell me a story too where you like defended him against like him getting his paint robbed or something? Oh yeah, like that?
Stack had beef with him or whatever, probably because of Scuff. He was painting a wall. He came down to the chocolate factory in Williamsburg or whatever. We gave him a spot, so he was painting a wall, and Stack had beef with him or whatever. And he comes running around the block because I was like around the block or whatever. He's like, Stack's around the corner. He just threw a bottle at me and this, that, and the other thing. And I was just like, really? So I go around, and Stack's like bagging up his paint. And I was like, what are you doing? He was like, oh, I'm taking his paint. I was like, no, you're not. I mean, leave his paint right there, whatever. You got beef with him, then fight him. You're not going to take his paint. He's painting my wall. So anyway, Stack was like, all right. So I was like, fight him, Adder. So Stack locked him up like 3 times or whatever, choking him out. So I was just like, all right, so do you feel better now? All right, now leave. And then he just jetted.
Bro, these stories are crazy.
You want to hear something crazy? It's like PM. I gave PM a spot on that building too.
PM, best writer on Instagram, I think. But go ahead.
All right, so PM had a spot on that wall too, or whatever, and he had beef with Stack.
Okay. PM and Stack had beef?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what the beef was or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but I left PM there painting, and then I'm by my girl's house or whatever. And PM's walking down the block. I was like, yo, what happened? He was like, yo, Stack showed up or whatever, and I jet it. He left all his paint there. So Stack got that time.
Damn.
He got that paint.
Sick. It's cool for you to be able to tell these stories, too. I hope nobody gets their panties in a knot over this shit, because we're talking about old, you know.
Yeah, I'm just spitting but, truth, you know.
Yeah, that's like, the thing. You're not telling any lies, man. You've seen this shit, and you were there, so... I'm trying to think of some other people, Izo,
mm-hmm.
like that. I considered Izo a painting partner of yours.
Yeah. He did become a painting partner of mine.
Yeah. When did you guys link up and like, what was your kind of like agenda at the time? Like, was it a street heavy agenda or?
It was a street heavy agenda. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it started out with, because I remember Izo from the Queens. He was a Queens writer by Queens Center Mall over there. And then I knew like a bunch of Queens writers, like this guy Rio, BC, this guy Prose. They always used to hang out in a park over there. I think it was Hoffman Park. It's a park right on Queens Boulevard there.
Mm-hmm.
So they used to go to all the spots, the graffiti spots or whatever. And I remember Izo's piece stood out above the rest. And I remember the character he did. He did a RAMO piece. And I was just like, oh, shit. And I questioned him about that, like, when we bumped heads or whatever. And he was like, yeah, I did that for my girlfriend. It was Ramona.
Gotcha.
And I was like, oh, shit. So, anyway, how I ran into Izo is because I went to go to scene show. I never go to shows. Never.
Why not? You just don't like the...
No, I just don't like graffiti writers. it's just too much. There's a lot of rah-rah bullshit.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, people got shit to prove. I'm a mellow dude. Mm-hmm. I just don't like being around chaos. So Seema's having a show. So Rebs was like, yo, you want to go to the show or whatever? I was like, you know what? I never go to shows. Seem, you know, this guy's like Godfather graffiti. Fuck it, I'll go. So we went, and I'm with Tabitha. And Tabitha had a little collection of these little black books. I actually have them, 7 of them. But she had a little collection. She carried this black book around everywhere she went. She's got most of the writers in New York in those books. I think that with the exception of J.A. Anyway, she wanted to meet Scene, so I was just like, all right, fuck it, we'll go. So we went. So Scene's standing there talking to Chino or whatever. And Chino's kind of dismissive to her or whatever. But, you know, then Scene was like, oh, what's up? And she was like, oh, could you sign my book or whatever? So he was like, oh, sure. So he signed in the book or whatever. And then she's flipping through to find a page. And I guess Chino saw the P.E. Mm-hmm. in the book. And he was like, you know this dude? And then she was like, oh, yeah, sure, that's my husband or whatever. So they were like, oh, shit. So I got to meet Chino. I never met Chino before. So we were both shitting or
good
whatever.
Dude, man. Shout out Chino.
He's a good dude. Yeah, I like Chino a lot. Anyway, Izzo was at that same show or whatever, and he was going through the book, and he saw the PE. He was like, oh, shit, you know, he's TPA. And Tabitha was like, oh, he's right there. So then we started shooting the shit or whatever, and then I was just like, yo, I remember your piece in Queens, this, that, and the other thing. And then before you know it, we're hanging out. So then we started hanging out hard. It started, like, just copping tags around town or whatever, and then he was doing pieces, inviting me, so I would go do some pieces or whatever uptown. That's how I met Case and all of those dudes, Part.
Oh, wow.
TDS.
Were those guys like, those guys were active around the same years that you were active, right? They were just in different areas of the city?
Yeah, we were painting walls together. You know, they would gather up and paint walls or whatever. I'd be there painting with them or whatever. I never got to meet those guys. So that was cool.
That was very cool.
And I met Revolt, Zephyr, all through Izzo.
Wow, okay. Because
I'm not a social person, you know. It's like I see them up and all of that and see their pieces throughout the years.
Yeah.
But I don't really socialize with graffiti writers. So if I do meet a graffiti writer and they know a lot of graffiti writers, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to bump into them.
So of the two of you and Tabitha, she was the more social person.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely a social butterfly. You know, her thing was always like, you know, if you're not documented, then you were never there.
Yeah.
And I never really thought about that, you know. It was just like, I just did my thing. And I didn't think people paid attention until I started painting. I came out in 95, 96, started painting the Chocolate Factory, and so many graffiti writers heard that I was painting there, and they were stopping by with black books to sign, and they were bringing me photos, and I was just like, wow, this is like a thing. People were like paying attention to what the hell was going on.
Yeah, it's funny how, like, if you step out of it for a minute, you forget what that community is like, and it almost makes that community, like, wonder what's going on with you, what's up.
So yeah, when you step back in, the thing is like, I was never into the socializing and all that bullshit. Like, I'll do graffiti, but I don't like seeing graffiti. You know, it's like, it's just something I do, and I shut it off. I go home.
Yeah.
You know, and even like when I paint now in present time, like, I'll do pieces or whatever. I don't want to socialize with people. I just, you know, but they're there when I'm painting, so.
Yeah.
And they're cool people. Don't get me wrong. It's just I'm not real social.
Yeah, I think sometimes some of the best people that I know, like, both in and out of graffiti, say that they're not social, but it just means that they're actually, like, just a good person, basically. Because there's so many weirdos out here. There's
no, tell me about
you
it.
You know what I mean? There's so much funny shit that, like, most people that are you know, cool, calm, and collected, as I was saying, they just tend to not want to be around like a big crowd like that. No.
It's too chaotic, you know.
Yeah.
I'm so used to just doing my thing, and, you know, it's just my social circle is very small.
Right.
Very small.
There's a lot of other people here.
I mean, it was cool to see, like, bumping heads with, like, Ography, because, like, I remember people back in the day or whatever, and they're still writing today, which is a beautiful thing. And, like, I got to hang out with Adam, like, hard. Like,
Atomic.
At these present times now. Yeah, with the whole LOC crew.
Yeah.
And those guys are awesome, man. They're all fucking really good-hearted people.
Yeah. I see you still get a wall in with them every now and then. I saw some on Broadway pop up.
Mm-hmm.
It's always so funny to me, man, when I'll just be driving around and I'll just see like a LOC production like out of nowhere pop up.
Those guys love to paint, man.
Yeah.
You know, they have a little barbecue and shit. They love to paint.
That's sick. I love seeing that. KP.
Oh.
Also, feel free to, like, if I say somebody's name and you're like, I don't feel like talking about that or whatever, like, you could just say pass, you know
what I mean? I don't mind, you know, it's like, these are all old stories and shit like that, and I was like...
To me, I just, he's like, has one of the best, like, fill-ins and everything, but I think I mentioned him to you once before, and you had a couple good KP stories, but...
Yeah.
You guys have beef back in the day, too.
Yeah, so, anyway, I think KP felt some type of way that I was hanging out with AT. They were really tight. You know, it's like really tight, like inseparable tight. It was kind of weird. So anyway, I started hanging out with AT or whatever, and KP was like, I guess, popping shit to AT or whatever. So I don't know how it got into it, but he was on the phone. He called my girlfriend's house or something. He got the number. So he was like, you know, I'm at AT's house now and this, that, and the other thing. I was like, oh, yeah, bet. Wait there. I'll be there half hour. So I go with Rye. R-I-E, this guy, Andy.
Yeah.
So Rye walks in the door.
TPA guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rye walks in the door, and KP punched him right in the face. Boom. And then he's coming at me. So I was just like, oh, shit. So we got into it immediately, as soon as he opened the door, whatever. So I yoked him up, took him to the ground. He's trying to get up or whatever. And you know the spindles, like, in the staircases?
Mm-hmm.
He's, like, trying to push off the spindles to get up, and he was breaking them. So AT's like, yo, take that shit outside. You're breaking up the house. You're breaking up the house. I was like, all right, yo, I'm going to let you go. We're going to go outside and do this. So I let him go. So Heat shows up. He passed away too. God rest his soul. He was a good dude. He's taking pictures of us, like fist fighting and shit.
Damn.
Yeah, I wish I had saw those.
Oh, yeah. Man.
But yeah. And then we walked away from each other, and that was cool. And then... Another time I was on the L train, and the train stopped right in front of KP, and the doors open. And I was like, all right, so what's up? We doing this? And then he was like, nah, let's just dead this shit or whatever. And I was like, all right, cool. And I was actually turning his KPs into King Peak ones.
Oh, wow. That's another classic beef move, like taking somebody's shit. And just...
Yeah, I did the same thing with EA. I put the P in the front and the K on the end.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's good stuff. All right, since we're on the topic of some beef, what about Dessa?
Oh, Dessa.
Yeah.
All right, so Dessa, Tabitha knew this girl, FNS, right? So Dessa started popping shit about my girl.
About Diva.
Yeah. So I was just like, I was in a chat room, some AOL fucking chat room.
I can't imagine you in a chat room. Like, dude, I just can't.
It was beyond me, too. I was just like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm in the chat room, and he's popping all the shit. And I was just like, dude, you could say whatever you want behind that fucking keyboard. Mm. I mean, just keep going, man. Keep going. Because, like, Des's face is going to be a messer when fucking Pete Crusher catch you. Seriously. So anyway.
You were spitting bars.
Yo, dude, I was just like, he had me so fucking irate. You know, I was just like, you don't talk about my girl and not fucking pay the price.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's like, he just kept going with it. And Diva knew this girl, FNS,
mm-hmm.
and he started dating her or whatever. So anyway, I was trying my damnedest to find out where he lived. And I went through DG. DG didn't want to tell me because he was kind of tight with Dessa or whatever. That was the first time DG wouldn't give it up. But you know who gave it up? Adder.
Oh, my Adder God. Adder was
like, I know where he lives.
Oh, man. He's going to want to do an interview after this
one. I was like, give me his address.
Yeah.
So he gave me his address or whatever. I waited till it was dead, like when he forgot about it. And then I went to his house. Because I told him in that chat room, I was like, listen, dude, you got me so fucking pissed off. And I know you live with your mother. If she answers the door, I'm going to punch her in the fucking face.
Oh, my God.
Seriously, man.
Damn.
So anyway, I waited till it, you know, he forgot about it,
uh-huh.
basically. And then I went to his house. I fucking rang the bell. His mother came out. She had a little dog. And I was like, where the fuck is your son? She was like, oh. And then he came to the window. And Grant, mind you, the sidewalk is right here, and his window was, like, right there. He's lived on the first floor or whatever. And I was like, come outside. I want to talk to you. And he was like, no, I'm not coming outside. I was like, come outside, dude. He was like, no, I'm not coming outside. I was like, yo, dude, you either apologize to my girl or I'm climbing through that fucking window and I'll beat the shit out of you in your own fucking house, man. So I was like, Diva's around the corner. I'm going to bring her around the fucking corner and you're going to apologize. And then you're going to apologize to me. So I brought her around. He apologized. Said, I'm sorry. This is not the other thing. All right, cool. I deaded it.
That's a truly romantic graph story right there.
But check this out. After I deaded it, him and Ketch, I had an outline or fill-in on Flushing Avenue. And they both, he nipped the one side of my P and Ketch nipped the E. They like boxed me in on my shit. And I was like, really? You want to fucking play games? Okay. And he had moved at that point. So I was like, now I need to find out where he lives again. So I found out where he lived through DG. DG gave it up.
Oh, shit.
So he lived in Glendale. So I went to his house or whatever. I was like, where the fuck is your son? To his mom. She was like, he's not here. I was like, tell him I was here. I'll be back or whatever. And then I just didn't go back. I was like, fuck it. And then when PG passed away, I saw him at the wake. And he was just like some big dude or whatever. And I was just like, what the fuck is he going to do? I mean, seriously? I mean, like, I was like, dude, I would cave your fucking face in right now, but you look like you're dying already. So I'm going to let it go. So I let it go.
Got you.
But yeah, now, I mean, like, we're liking each other's photos on fucking Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Everything's fucking
hunky-dory. Oh, that's great to hear, man.
I got props for that kid, man. He dedicated he's just like Kez. He dedicated his life to graffiti.
Nah, for sure.
And there's something to be said for that.
Definitely.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't live graffiti like that.
Nah. Well, I feel like out of the people that I've met, like you represent graffiti in a lot of ways to me. I know that.
I just try to stay consistent through the years.
Right.
Like, you know, I'll take a hiatus. I'll come back and do some big shit. I mean, Smith said it. He was like, you know, you don't have to go all in the way you're going in.
Uh-huh.
He was like, you could just drop a couple of fill-ins and people are going to fucking talk.
I don't think anybody from your, like generation is still coming out and putting an illegal like roller up.
Well, that's the side of that. I didn't want to get pigeonholed into being some old school graffiti writer that goes to fucking shows and they talk about graffiti and what they did back in the day.
Yeah.
Might as well just bust out the fucking tea and crumpets and just fucking do it. You know, just fucking go out and do something, man.
I mean, not a lot of these guys are still physically like hanging on the way that you are, though. You know what I mean? Like,
seriously, it's the reason why, because they're sitting around fucking doing nothing.
There we go.
I always have to be on the move.
Yeah.
Always. I can't sit still for fucking, like this, like sitting here. This
I know.
Long, yeah. Just, I can't sit still. I get antsy, you know, it's like I got to do some shit. And I'm always down for a mission. You know, it's the adrenaline rush that I'm actually addicted to. Just being, you know, the whole. You're not supposed to be there.
Right.
And you know, fucking blood's pumping. Like that spot I recently did in Queens, that wall.
Sure. Off the.
With the roller.
Off the. What was that? What stretch of. That's the highway, right? Like.
It's going towards the airport. That's why I wanted that.
It's spot. Right by the Midtown Tunnel, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, that spot I went to, I did recon on it. There was a scaffold there. It was beautiful, right against the wall. I was like, oh, shit, they were building a new gas station. I was like, bet, I'm going to do that wall. I mean, like, I was wondering how to get up there for so long. And then they had that scaffold, and I was like, oh, shit, cool. I go, the night I go, I get the fucking 5-gallon bucket of paint over the gate, slide the pole under, and I jump over the gate, and I look, and the scaffold's gone. I was like, what the fuck out of here, really? So I'm looking around. It's a construction site. They had a 4-foot ladder, an 8-foot ladder, plywood. So I was like, I'm like fucking MacGyvering shit over here.
Yeah.
So I see, you know, those steel poles they put in the ground, like barriers. So mm-hmm. like you don't drive into something or whatever. There was three of them in the corner against the building. I was like, oh shit. So I got a piece of plywood, put that on there, made a platform that was about 4 feet high,
mm-hmm.
got the 8-foot ladder. Opened it up, put it on top of that. And then I got the 4-foot ladder to walk up onto the platform and then go up the 8-foot ladder. And I extended the pole so it reached the tip of the the edge of the roof. And then I went up and I fucking pulled the pole up, and I had, I usually use a string around my wrist with tied to the 5 gallon bucket. So when I get up there, I just pull the bucket up.
And you don't have to put your exact age out there, but if you, I mean, I really don't see anybody doing it like from when you started till now, from 70, what was it, 79?
Yeah.
Till 2024. That's when I was going
hard, yeah.
That's crazy. Hats off, man.
Oh, thanks, man.
You did that. You know, you're doing that in between, like, working a lot of hours, oh, too, man. Oh, my God,
seriously.
So, yeah, nah, it's
a lot of work. Like, if you think about it, it's like the last role I did off the BQE, that was a beautiful spot. They painted that wall black.
Ah, man, I know. Like, I loved, oh my God. I loved seeing that, bro. Like,
but it hadn't been a while, like, in between rollers and shit. Like, uh-huh. I did the one in Queens, and then I saw that BQE spot. I was like, oh, I have to do that spot. So I get up there, whatever. It was a piece of cake getting up there, setting up and all of that. But when I had the roller extended and all of that, I was just like, damn, I'm out of practice, man. I was like throwing that roller up and my arms were like, holy shit. I had to take a couple of breathers doing that one, man.
Yeah.
Seriously. But, you know, I pulled it off. That was a beautiful fucking spot.
Oh, man, I got stuck up on the BQE a couple times right at that spot because really? The traffic slows down. Yeah, like when you're... It's like right before the Tillery exit or whatever. Yeah, it slows down right there. So I got stuck a couple times. And
traffic and shit.
Yeah. I remember telling my girl about it. I was like, yo, that's, you know, and I was like, I know this guy up here. Like, it's very impressive, man. Doing it all these years.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Slash FTR.
Love that dude, man.
Yeah.
He actually texted me to see if I'm supposed to give him a canvas to put into some show.
He's another guy, if you could just ask him. A lot of people, you know, a lot of writers are hesitant to do this. I'm trying to do these interviews, like, as best I can. Yeah. Because I really want people to get there, you know, tell their story or whatnot. Listen,
I could put you in touch with writers if you want.
Yeah, for sure. Slash is definitely one of those people.
He's awesome, man.
How long have you known Slash? What's your guys' history?
I've known I met Slash through PG.
Okay.
He's a friend of PG's family.
Got you.
So he's pretty tight with the family still to this day.
And he's getting more active now, I feel like.
Oh my God, man. He fucking went in.
Yeah.
And his shit is just awesome, man.
And that's been like, in the past 2 years or something.
He pieces big, dude.
Right.
Like I linked up with him to do a piece one time. He did his outline. I was like, oh my God. I'm so used to working like maybe 8-9 feet long.
Sure.
Like maybe 5 feet high.
Yeah.
Like, he stretched his whole shit out. I was like, oh, shit. So I had to pull one fucking rabbit out of my ass for that one, man. Just piecing outside my comfort zone.
Yeah. There's a couple of the TMR guys that do that, too. I feel like Saint and Scent go super big when I see them. Like, they'll get a legal wall and they'll just go.
Yeah. It's like, damn.
Yeah. Giz.
Giz.
Yeah. Like, he's a younger guy to you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So how did he come into your kind of, like, periphery?
All right, and so... Giz I met through DG.